right, saints, if you could look in your sermon order of service, you'll see a sermon outline sheet. And at the top, it has the title of our message for this Lord's Day. And what is the title of our message this Lord's Day, saints? All right, God's love for you. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, our message today simply boils down to bottom line, saints. God loves us. God loves us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just high five your neighbor and just say, neighbor, God loves us. Bottom line. Bottom line. Bottom line, God loves us. Amen. So if you leave here today with nothing else, saints, I pray that you will grasp this awesome, life-changing truth that God loves you today. God loves you today. God rejoices over you today. God rejoices over you. God loves me and rejoices over me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So today I want us to get rid of some of our misconceptions about God. All right, you know, God gets bad press. How many know that? God gets bad press. God gets bad press. I'm not so much talking about Newsweek or The Plain Dealer or ABC, CBS, and NBC, all them. I'm talking about God gets bad press in your mind and in my mind. When things go awry, sometimes we think God is just a ticked off God. What I do, God? Oh, my goodness. We're going to get rid of some of the misconceptions today. Praise God. For say, what if you really knew that you knew that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you? Really, really loves you. What would happen if you actually let that touch your heart? God loves me. I want everybody just to touch your heart right now and just say that out loud. Go ahead and say, God loves me. Allow that truth to penetrate your heart. God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. God loves me. Amen. And you know, when we know that we're loved, our blood flows better. Amen. Hallelujah. When we know that we are loved, we got a pep in our step. We got a slide in our glide. We got a twinkle in our eye. We walk a little taller. You don't even have to wear these big shoes I wear. Amen. We walk taller. Our head holds higher when we know that we're loved. The way looks brighter. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. There's more spring. Amen. In our spirits. There's more joy in our hearts. More joy in our lives when we know that we are loved. And when we know that we are loved, our lives will overflow with that love. Amen. Lay Pastor Walter last week, he talked about a cup and it being filled. And if you trip, what's going to come out of that cup? What's in it? Praise God. And we pray it's the Holy Spirit. And just imagine love being filled to the brim, knowing that you're loved, so that when you go forth into your life, that love just overflows because you know that you're loved and you're filled with love. There'll be more love for your spouse. Hallelujah. Anybody need some of that today? More love for your family. Hallelujah. More love for your coworkers. More love for your neighbors. Even the neighbors whose dog just starts barking at 3 a.m. in the morning. Hallelujah. We have a neighbor like that. Amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But Pastor Rick, he's more awakened than I because I bought me some earplugs. Praise God. And so when they start, I don't even hear them anymore. Amen. He won't put them on. I say, put these in. You won't hear them. Hallelujah. But saints, when we are filled with love, we know that we're loved, we can impact others around us. Oh, with the same practical, transforming love that God longs to lavish on us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And saints, God loves us not for just what we do. All right, we think that's a works mentality. God loves us just because we are. Just because we are. Say that with me. Just because I am. God loves me just because I am. God loves me. And God wants us to love each other the same way. Amen. I want you to amen and say, get ready, neighbor, because I'm going to learn to love you. Amen. You just get ready because I'm going to get filled and I am fixing to do some loving on you. Amen and amen. Praise God. A lot of loving going on over there. Praise God. Well, today, saints, we're going to learn some more about the God that you've longed to know, a God that is head over heels in love with you. Head over heels in love with you. Oh, that is so awesome. A God who is passionately in love with you and intensely committed to your joy. God's committed to your joy. Praise your name. Your highest joy God is committed to. All right. Well, before we really get into this, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, loving and gracious God. We thank you for your holy word. And we ask that you would anoint my lips to speak and that you would anoint the ears, the eyes, the heart, and the minds of each and all of us here today to receive from your word today. Today, we just desire to gaze upon you, Lord God. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking us to a deeper place in noticing you and noticing your love for us and responding to that love and to your word to us. We pray this day that you would awaken ever deeply your love in our hearts. Make so is our prayer, O God. And we ask it and we thank you ahead of time for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's saints join to say, amen and amen. Tina Turner, she asked a question some years ago. She said, what's love got to do with it? Amen. Every last one of you know that song. Amen. You know that question that she asked. Well, saints, the answer to what's love got to do with it is love has everything to do with it. The bottom line for everything is God. It's all about Jesus. That's the bottom line for everything. And Scripture tells us that God is love. God is love. And 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God in that one. Hallelujah. You see, love is such an integral part of the gospel. It's such an integral part of God's word that we're told in Hebrews 5:44, we're told to even love our enemies. Now, that's deep. Enemies. Enemies is somebody who don't have your best interest at heart. That's what an enemy is. Love our enemies. Oh, hallelujah. In Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 3:17 and 19, being rooted and grounded in love, that you would be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. How many here want to be filled with all of the fullness of God? Oh, praise your name, Lord. You know, one of the most famous and popular verses in the Word of God is John 3:16. And it begins, for God so loved the world, hallelujah, that he gave his only begotten Son. Because God so loved us. Now, this word so, God so loved, so it means to a great extent. You see, God's love for us, it goes to a great extent, hallelujah. And to me, that sounds like a passionate love. When somebody goes to a great extent, amen, God goes to a great extent, that's passionate love. And God's great love makes all of the difference in our lives, saints. It could make all of the difference if we could just get it. If we could just get it. Just hunt your neighbor right now and say, come on, neighbor, we got to get this. We got to get this. We got to understand this. Praise your name. For you see, some of us, we suffer from the blue syndrome. Now, in our Old Testament text that Erica read for us today, Zephaniah has good news for people who suffer from the blues. Hallelujah. There's good news here today. Amen. Zephaniah lived about 400 years after the temple in Jerusalem was built. And over the years, God's people began to forget about God. Oh, what a tendency we have. And the word says their worship had grown cold and stale. So God raised up a king, Josiah, who read a copy of God's word, something, by the way, that had been ignored for decades. And when Josiah read God's word, he was broken. And so he and this prophet, Zephaniah, they called the people to repentance. And then they called the people to revival. Hallelujah. Now, all of chapter 1 of Zephaniah, we see that there is a warning. It's the whole chapter is a warning. You see, yes, God is love saved, but Scripture also says God is a consuming fire. God is a righteous judge that will not tolerate sin. That's why Jesus came and he died for us. He took our sin. He took our blame for us because God will not turn a blind eye to sin. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't think that God don't see you. Don't think God don't see you. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, be careful little eyes what you see, and be careful little hands what you do, for our God up above is looking down below. So be careful little eyes, little hands what you do. And you know what? That back then and still today, it makes me try to do a little better and to be a little better because I know God is with me and God is watching. Amen. Amen. And because I knew that, I made a decision at 8 years old to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I invite you to come into my heart and into my life because I know that you, Jesus, on the inside. And, oh, and I know I need to be washed, cleansed, forgiven, and made new. Jesus, you on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And God has been doing that transforming change ever since. Amen. So there are blessings that start pouring out when you open your heart, when you confess, when you receive Jesus Christ. He comes in and starts doing that change. Amen. And makes you new. And also, it takes away the judgment. God takes away the judgment when you receive Christ because Christ already paid the penalty for that judgment. So Zephaniah, and you can put it on the screen for coming up. Zephaniah says, the Lord has taken away the judgments against us. That's Zephaniah 3:15. Amen. That's in our text. So you say, wow, the Lord has taken away the judgments against us. Well, if I don't get judgment then, if I've received Jesus Christ, he's paid for my judgment, then what do I get? The Word of God tells us, you get love. You get love from God. You get blessings, mercy, grace, forgiveness, hallelujah, because Jesus paid the price, amen. Somebody ought to say hallelujah in here, because we all needed that. We all needed that, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, God is just, and God is holy, and yes, God disciplines us. And we all know that discipline doesn't feel good at times, amen. But at the end of the day, you've got to know that through Jesus Christ, God loves us. Through what Jesus has done for us, God loves us. So, dear friends, it's good to know that God has emotions and feelings. Wow. Like we do, but not quite like ours because, you see, we've been affected by sin, you know. So our emotions and our feelings, they're tainted, you know. But God's passion is pure. Thank you, Lord. God's heart, it beats with a warmth and an affection for us. Hallelujah. For we, God's children. So if we look at Zephaniah 3:17, and I'm going to ask you to put that on the screen for me. Every phase in this verse can encourage your heart today. Every line can encourage your heart today. Amen. And so I just want to pull out some truths right out of this one verse that were antidotes to depression in our life, to doubt in our life, to when we're going through in our lives and we're feeling in despair. Amen. We start off, the Lord your God is with you. Amen. Amen. The Lord our God is with us. So I want you to say with me today, saints, I am so loved.
I am so loved.
that Jesus walks with me. Hallelujah. I am so loved that Jesus walks with me. Would it make a difference for you if you knew that you knew that Jesus is walking with you? Amen. Wherever you went, when you got up, as soon as you put your feet, Jesus starts walking right with you. Hallelujah. Amen. That Jesus was really living life right beside you, walking with you. That when you go to work, Jesus is right there working with you. Amen. Where you live, Jesus is living right there with you. Where you go to school, Jesus is right there at school studying with you. Wherever you're playing, Jesus is out there playing with you too. Where you're shopping, Jesus is shopping with you. Hallelujah. Amen. What you're feeling, Jesus is feeling too. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, saints, the whole message of the Word of God is not out there somewhere and not concerned about what's going on with us. God is close. God is walking with us. And if we could just get that into our hearts, get that into our heads, it would make all of the difference. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Look how the verse starts. The Lord, would you put it up for me? The Lord your God is with you. Amen. Amen. Some of the versions say, in your midst, God is with you. God is near you to support you, to assist you, to aid you, to comfort you, to give you the strength that you need. Hallelujah. God is close, saints. Oh, thank you. Scripture tells us the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. And God is pleased to be with us. Thank you, Lord. God is pleased to be with us. You know, I think if we really had that in our heart, God is walking with me now, I think all of us would be members of the One Look Club. You know how the men who excel talk about the One Look Club? And all of us would be a part of that club because we know God is walking with us. Amen. All right. No turning back around. All right. Because Jesus is right there with us. Jesus with us would cause us to think twice before we did something. Like, what would Jesus think if I did? What would Jesus, before you get ready to, okay, you think Jesus really, okay, all right, Jesus, you walking with me, I'm going to reflect you, Lord Jesus, praise God. God is pleased to be with us, and we need to be mindful that Jesus is close and that God takes delight in our presence. God takes delight in our presence. And that you, I, we don't ever have to be alone. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to go through this life alone and in our own power. I remember a time when I felt so, so alone in my life. And that time was with my first day of college at Notre Dame College. My mom had drove me out. She dropped me off and we went and unpacked my things. And then I said, okay, bye. I stayed in the room. I watched her walk down the walkway through the window, and then I sat down. I heard people out in the hallway, and then I said, what did I get myself into this time? And I'm like, oh, God, I just felt like running behind her and getting in that car and going to hell. I said, no, I'm going to stay because I know the Lord sent me to Notre Dame. I know there's a reason that I'm here. But I felt so alone at that moment. It was unbelievable. But God is so good. And God, he just comforted me. And in a few next moments, there was a knock on my door. I'm like, that's the door. And so I went over there and somebody did. And he said, oh, we saw you come in. I said, oh, okay. Well, what you doing? And they just pulled me on out. God sent somebody to pull me out that room because I wasn't coming out that room. Oh, God is so good, saints. God knows what to do for us. God loves us so very much. Oh, so we don't have to walk this life alone, praise God. But unfortunately, saints, there are some of us here today who don't feel loved. We don't feel loved by God. Well, why not? Well, maybe when you were a little girl or a little boy, maybe you had a rough time growing up. You had a rough go at it. Maybe you were abused, whether it was physically or emotionally or even sexually. And when you hear about God loving you so much, it's like, well, I just wonder, well, where was God when all that was going on? Where was God when I got hurt? Where was God when they stabbed me in the back and did this and that? And I feel so sorry for your pain today and for all of our pains and the sins committed against you. But no matter how much I grieve, and we all grieve one for another, it doesn't compare to the depths and the heights of God's love and grief for you. God cares. God is concerned. God loves you. Maybe you grew up in a home where the expectations were high. I mean, very high. So that when you brought home your report card and you had all A's and B's and there was one C minus, and then and your parents looked at it, first thing they, before they said anything, they went right to that C or D or said, "What's this on the report card?" And they could hardly ever find themselves able to say, "Way to go! We're proud of you." Or instead, you always heard, "Well, why didn't you get all A's? Don't you come back here unless you got all A's and B's." And so you were just like, oh, you never felt good enough. You know, it's like, you never felt smart enough. You never felt athletic enough. That, you know, so you begin to spend the rest of your life wondering, well, what am I worth? And you begin wondering, well, why don't I measure up? What's wrong with me? So then you try harder and harder. And sometimes you try so hard, you find yourself getting ready to just burn out or getting ready to have some kind of breakdown. You wish you could just give up some days and then just give in other days. But tell your neighbor, but you can't. Maybe can't. You can't. You can't. Listen, if that's you today, you need to know that you are so loved by God. Let's look again at Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "He will take great delight in you." God delights in us, in our presence. "In his love, he will no longer rebuke you." All right, he will rejoice over you. He will rejoice with singing. Now, some of the versions of this text, they use the word quiet, that God will bring you quietness in your life. And I like that translation very much. God will quiet you. How many know sometimes we got so much noise going on here, so much noise going on here, so much noise going around. This is a wonderful promise. God will quiet you by God's love. You know how sometimes a baby just is crying away, but you just keep holding them and rocking them, and we can quiet them with our love. Amen. So Jesus will calm you with his love no matter what you're going through. So I want you today, rest in his love. Rest in Jesus' love. Now, the word is called karash, and it means silence. Now, that's not a bad idea for a lot of us that are running around like chickens with our heads cut off half the time, running here, running there. I mean, and quietness is a spiritual discipline. So those of us who are in the spiritual journey group, this is one of the big disciplines that we work on monthly. And we started out 5 minutes. We even learned that even sometime a timer, and then you get where you don't need a timer, but you keep extending the time. And no matter if there's horns outside, dogs barking, or whatever, we have gotten to the place where we can just shut it all out because we can just sit there in silence. And we do that as a church because we turn off all electronics. And we have a little fellow that visits us sometimes. And when he comes into the house, he says, "Is this the quiet time for the church?" Because he can tell nothing is on. And he says, "Oh, okay." And little James, Sharon's nephew, he fits right in. He don't try to turn on anything. He just goes right in because we all need quiet at times. Amen. So if you're going to have a sense of peace in your life, you're going to have to ground your heart. Just sit and allow God, you know, just to surround you and give you the assurance of God's love in your heart. Now, those of us who are type A personalities, we're just bouncing all over the place. And people call us the energizing bunnies, you know. We can't hardly sit down. We just sit up, sit down, stand up. You know, there's some of us like that. You know what? We need to rest in God's love. Amen. Learn. Oh, spiritual discipline has helped me just to learn to more and more rest in God's love. Now, those of you who are competitive in personality, you see a challenge everywhere. Everywhere you're ready to compete. There's people like that. It's like, oh, everything is a competition. But that can be good. But you too need to learn quietness in God's presence and in God's love. And there's those of us here today We're strivers, always striving, sweating. Oh, yeah, we got to keep on going. Oh, we got to make things happen. We're movers, we're shakers. We're shaking and moving and shakers. You know, we too need to learn to be calm by God's love and quietness. Those of us who keep setting the bar higher and higher and higher, first, then we trying to jump over it. First, somebody help me. We just keep trying to jump over higher and higher and higher. But we need to learn to be content. Everybody say content. Content in God's love. So I want you to just nudge your neighbor right now. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, cease striving. Cease striving. Cease striving. You see, because of Jesus, there's nothing that we can do ever to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Hallelujah. So in Psalm 46:10, God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Be still and know that I am God. Saints, as we celebrate communion today, as you take the cup and you have the bread in your hand, I want you to just allow God to love you. Just let God love you as you hold that cup. Just let God hold you. As you hold that cup, let God hold you. Let God whisper in your ear. And let your heart beat with Jesus' heart. Don't struggle. Don't resist. Don't be thinking about the roast in the oven. Don't be thinking about what you got to do. You don't think you got to go somewhere and perform. Just rest in his love. And just feel his love. This past week, a friend of my sister Susan, she sent her a card that touched her so deeply and it touched me so deeply. And just one little part of the card, she told her, she said, slow down and experience. Taste now, for now is the future you have been talking about your entire life. Right now is the future you've been talking about. So slow down. Taste now. Experience now. I want you to say, I am so loved. I am so, so loved that Jesus rests with me. Jesus rests with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Slow down. I've put in our order a insert, and this is a part of our spiritual journey group, and it's got just some suggestions, many ways to pray. We have learned you can pray even in dancing or just moving your, just in your home or to music or being still and not even moving a muscle. There's so many ways. I want you all to just during your times with the Lord, go over some of these different disciplines and just see which ones that you enjoy God's presence. Just experience some of these. And so I've put this there for your growth and for your enjoyment of your time with the Lord. Please seriously take these and really reflect and incorporate some of this into your life. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. But you say with me, I am so loved that Jesus wins for me. I want to ask you today, what trial in your life right now, what relationship, what problem, what burden, what is in your life? What's in your past that just keeps bothering you? Or what temptation is in your life right now? What problem? You know what? Whatever it is you just thought of, Jesus does not want you to face that alone. And you don't have to face it by yourself. Jesus wants to exert his mighty power to save you. Would you put it up again for me? Thank you. Even in the first verse, it talks about Jesus and his mighty power because he is a warrior. Jesus has the power. God, high five your neighbor and say, God's got the power. God's got the power. God's got the power to win for you. God's got the power to save you. You see, the word saved, it's also used in Psalm 34. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are been brokenhearted? Have you ever been crushed in your spirit? Well, it tells us the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Can you sense that today? That you are so loved that Jesus wins for you? You may say, no, I can't sense that. You know, because I got so many problems. You just don't know how many problems, Pastor Toby, I have in my life. You might say, no, I don't sense it because I got enemies. I got enemies outside. I got enemies in my family. I got enemies everywhere. I don't sense this today. Well, for you, I want you to believe the promise of verse 15. Verse 15 says, God has cleared away your enemies. Hallelujah! You might not see it yet, but God has cleared away your enemies. Thank you. Claim that promise today. And verse 19 says, I will deal with your oppressors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So you can just rest in God's love because God already got your back. High five your neighbor and say, God's got your back, neighbor. God's got your back. God's got your back. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Can you see it today that you are loved? You are so loved that Jesus delights in you. Oh, my, you might say, no, I just can't see it, Pastor Toby. I've got too much shame in my life to really believe that Jesus delights in me. And I've been belittled, I've been called names, I've been laughed at, I've been stabbed in the back, I've been threatened, I have made mistakes, I've done some dumb things in my life. It's hard to believe that Jesus delights in me. Well, then, believe the promise of verse 19. It says, I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you for changing our shame into praise. Can you touch that today, my friend? That you are so loved by Jesus. You are so loved that He's winning for you. He's already won for you. He's ahead of you. He's aside of you. He's behind you. He's got your back. You may say, well, no. No, Pastor Joe, because I've done some pretty bad things, you know, pretty terrible things, you know. No, I can't grasp that. Scripture says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, every one of us. And we need to repent to say, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. And then make a U-turn in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Jesus then brings us before the throne of grace, proud of us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for being proud. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me a new life, new opportunity to be a new creature in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can overcome your past. Overcome whatever beginning you had. Whatever beginning, you can overcome it through Jesus, who is the mighty warrior, who's already won for you. Oh, saints, God delights in us because of Christ and because of what God made us to be. Each one of us, God has made us to be something special. Every one of us, we got unique gifts and talents. We got unique personalities. We have unique quirks about us, amen. And praise God, it's with the blood of Jesus that we've been washed and we've been made new, hallelujah, that we can have a pep in our step and we can hold our heads up. I praise your name. We've been made free. And the word of God says, whom the Lord has made free is free indeed, free indeed, free indeed. Can you shout that today? Only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can shout that, free indeed. Oh, I've been made free. Oh, I've been made free. Free indeed. Oh, free to be all that God has made me to be and desires for me to be. God says, I will rejoice and delight in my people. If Jamil, you could put our verse up one more time. Oh, praise God. If you could just imagine yourself, verse 17, if you would. Amen. Verse 17, God says, I will rejoice. I want us to read this together, saints. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will say, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Hallelujah. That last point with loud singing. God will rejoice over us with loud singing. Say this with me. I am so loved. God rejoices over me with loud singing. I don't know exactly God's singing voice. It might sound like Niagara Falls. I'm not sure. But I know it's powerful. And it's beautiful. And it's awesome. And God rejoices over each of you today. Oh, with loud singing. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus, that we are so loved, each and every one of us. I would like for us to respond to God's word to us today by proclaiming we've been made free, and to imagine me being free to receive that love and to really know that we're loved, that we can just go forth into our lives with our heads up, with a spring in our step, knowing that come what may, Jesus walks with us, Jesus delights in us, Jesus loves to rest with us, and Jesus has got our back. Jesus is winning for us. So no matter who is in, who's out, what's up, what's down, what's going on, imagine me, hallelujah, being free to be all that God is calling and desiring for me to be. I want us all to rise, and as we rise, say, I can, hallelujah, I can receive that love. I am free, I can. I love you, Lord. Oh, and just, world, imagine me.